What?
I made your luck.
Hello and welcome to episode 319 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is...
Adam, Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam? Is there still Vancouver, or is it just you're in the Arctic now?
I think it's almost going to all be washed away. It was mostly washed away yesterday, so we're okay again. We had a few days of pretty helter-skelter driving conditions. And now it rained pretty much all of yesterday, so I think there was a lot of people with flooding problems because of all the snow mixed with all of the rain and the melting snow and the clogged drainage systems. Bottom line is we're turning it around now. No more winter couver or whatever you want to call it, snowmageddon. Hopefully it's all behind us.
You had a lot. You had uncharacteristic.
We had a ton. And I don't know if I mentioned last time. I don't think I did that. Jack and I were going to wrestling, like the WWE was in town for Monday night. So we podcasted on whatever, a Friday. And that following Monday, there was wrestling in town. And of course, Jack and I always go to the wrestling events when they're local.
Was this Langley?
This was Abbotsford. And Abbotsford was a blizzard. Like, it was so much so that a lot of people, like, I was looking on social media and people were saying, oh, I'm not going, the weather's too bad, I'm not coming from Vancouver, it's not worth it. Anyways, Jack and I made the trek into a blizzard and we survived it. So I'm here to tell the story. It was very scary. Highway 1. It was mostly that there was zero visibility. Like, you couldn't see anything. It was just a blizzard and snow blowing in every direction, and you couldn't see the lanes. And that's all fine. Like, when you're I was driving a nice big SUV, and I never felt like the car was going to slip. But you never feel quite comfortable about how quickly you can stop. So I was allowing for a very large cushion between me and the vehicle in front. And just more or less following headlights because, that's about all you could see.
Hopefully following taillights.
Taillights. Yeah, that's better. Yeah, taillights.
Yeah, that's...
The red ones.
That's what you... Yeah, you want to leave enough room that you can stop, but not too much that you lose that guy in front of you.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So I found a couple people that were... I know there's a guy in front and behind that were both kind of willing to go at about the same speed, and we just kind of went 25K at about somewhere between 50 and 60 kilometers on Highway 1, where I think the speed limit's 110.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for the most part, the good news is for everyone who really wants to know about Highway 1, Trans-Canada Highway, that section is there's really very little that can go wrong.
It's pretty straight.
Yeah, pretty straight, pretty flat. I mean, worst case, if you go off the road, your night is ruined. Like, you're not going to wrestling.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, like coming down the Coquihalla or Highway 97, there's some spots where you really don't want to go over the edge.
True.
So that's a little different scenario. But,
But wrestling was awesome. So there,
good.
There's that. Oh, I have a Rubik's Cube update.
Oh, what's your new time?
3 minutes, 30 seconds.
Nice.
Yeah, it was actually 3:33, but I rounded down.
You always round down.
Yeah, so and a half minutes. I'm really hoping that in the next week I can break the 3 minute mark. Because I mean,
that's a tough sledding though.
Some of it's luck, right? Like, you mix it up, and sometimes you know, just the way the cubes fall, you end up, you know, skipping a step in the solving process. So, you know, if you get lucky. I think it's doable. But yeah, so far three and a half minutes is my time to beat.
Going from 5 to 3.5 is no small feat. I'm not going to underplay that.
I know, it's going to get harder and harder to shave time off of from this point. Yeah.
3:33, like, that's even then, yes. If you get down, if you get to 3:15, I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
It's funny because we had a guy on our team last year, an American guy, come in briefly. He left, but he came in and he was basically shooting his mouth off, young kid, how he can do the Rubik's Cube. It was best time. It's like 51 seconds.
Wow.
And I said, no, it's you're kind of a dingbat. There's no way.
Yeah.
You know, I said, listen, you're not. And I said, like, are you one of these guys with the full algorithm? Like you just look at the cube and then you know all the, No, I solve it. So he went and solved it, and it was like, you know, it was 4 minutes every time. Yeah. Well, it's not 53 seconds. Yeah. You understand? Like, would baffle me that he could do it and that. No, couldn't do it.
Yeah.
There you go. Rubik's Cube update, everybody.
Yes. And we did see a couple of listeners posted some. One fellow, I can't remember the name offhand, and this is me using Instagram. I've still yet to post a photo.
Okay.
But I have gone on our Instagram, and I have commented on other people's photos.
Ah.
So I'm making baby steps here.
Nice.
But someone had posted, I don't know if it remembers Facebook or Instagram, but someone had, in the last couple of days when I was on a social media site. This is again difficult when we have too many social media sites. But someone posted a photo of a Rubik's Cube where they had basically taken photos and sort of, I guess, cut them up and then glued them to the Rubik's Cube. I'm guessing that's what it was.
Ordered it or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe. You couldn't tell because it was kind of an artistic picture of the Rubik's Cube. But I thought, oh, that's a neat idea. But then I thought, if I were to do that on my Rubik's Cube, there's no way I could solve it.
Right. Right. And I was actually, when I saw that, I was considering, because it was family photos, I think, is what he had.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. It looked like there's like different, like a picture of a daughter and maybe a mother.
So I'm actually considering doing that over here. It'll be very easy to do in Germany because everyone's got a square head.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Zing.
Zing.
That's
pictures of robots.
Okay.
Okay. These square heads, right?
That was a segue. Missed that. I missed the curve on that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cartoon robots in my head are very square. That's all it was.
No, I don't
have to keep explaining it to you.
I saw Short Circuit.
Okay. Yeah. What about the robot from the Jetsons?
Yeah, no, that one sucks. Yeah.
I have another little bit of a photography. It's not really photography, but it is interesting, and it goes back to the Super Bowl and something that I've done now a couple of times. I'm hoping to pull it off again maybe this weekend, but another use for the white background.
Okay.
Okay, so are you excited about this?
For Super Bowl, yes.
I used it for Super Bowl.
Maybe I see where you're going.
The white background... Right?
Uh-huh.
The one I have is the 10 foot wide by however long you want to make it, but let's just call it 10 feet, 10 by 10.
Sure.
Is a fantastic screen for like a projection, a projector. Like, you know, now these fancy, newfangled, you know, 1080p projectors that through an HDMI cable, you just hook your cable box up to the projector, and then you can project it onto as large of a screen as you've got. Well, try beating a 10-foot wide background drop, and because there's, you know, this, it's the seamless, there's no wrinkles or anything in it, you drop it all the way down, you cover essentially a full wall, and then you project your, again, I happen to have some friends in high places that, you know, have
teachers.
Access to these. I'm not going to name any names. But anyway, so
they
I was
teach
able
fifth
to
grade.
I was able to borrow a projector and do this for Super Bowl, and it was unfreaking believable. Like how good the quality is and how large the image is. You literally feel like you're at the game in, like, you know, the 15th row. Like the players are life size, and you know, you think that there's going to be a huge drop-off because they talk about 4K, and this is still 1080p, and 1080p projected at 10 feet wide by whatever, 6.5, 7 feet, whatever you do the math on the length, or on the, yeah, whatever, on the height, still incredibly clear from close range. So I can't even fathom what a 4K projector would do in this situation.
Better.
Yeah, I guess. But
you would enjoy the game better.
I feel like I'm in a movie theater in my house. And again, because of the way my setup is, and I have quite a nice stereo setup, it's, you know, your audio is still all coming through the stereo, and you're just basically doing the output of the video through the projector, and it is amazing. So I wish I could justify the cost of one of these. Plus, the setup is a little bit of a nuisance because, I mean, I have to set up the background stand and the white background. I have to configure my room such that, you know, you're not going to get silhouettes of people, you know, yeah. who are sitting. So I have to sort of configure it all. But once it's set up, wow, is it amazing. So one more use for the white background.
There you go. So if yeah. you're on the fence.
Yeah. If you've got access February, to a projector. Yeah.
Yeah. Pick one up. Definitely yeah. pick one up. I did not even watch the Super Bowl. It was a 1 a.m. start here, though, so.
Yeah, you missed what was probably one of the greatest sporting events of all time.
That's what I hear. Well, yeah. One of the greatest sporting event quarters of all time.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean,
that's
it
right
was,
here.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. But I think if you only watched the last quarter, then it wouldn't have been one mm-hmm. of the greatest stories. It was one of those things that you had to watch the whole game to appreciate how ridiculous that this whole thing
right.
was. So I think everybody by now is probably Super Bowl chattered out. But we didn't say
spoiler alert.
I was on the losing side of this one. I had bet on Atlanta, not large money. I'd bet on Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Straight up on Atlanta. Or no, I think I got the points. It was only 3 points. But I bet straight up on Atlanta, and I had bet the under, which was 59 points, which to me, considering New England had the best defense during the regular season in the league, you know, I thought there's no way. 59 points, you're talking 30 points a team. Like, that's mm-hmm. just not going to happen when you've got the number one defense in the league out there. Plus, guys have Super Bowl kind of jitters. First quarters often can be a little slow starting just because, again, of the working out the jitters. But anyways, the first half went well under, and then, wow, did that come back to haunt me. So not only did I have to suffer through you know, the fact that I really don't like New England and didn't want them to win, but I also had to lose money at the last second on a whole thing. Like, the whole, instead of going under, it went over, and of course, New England, yeah, ended up pulling it out, so.
Bad day for you.
Bad day for me. Bad day for the people who put a lot of money on it. I can't imagine the sort of angst in watching that fall apart if you had a large sum of money, which apparently there was something in the neighborhood, they think, of about $4.something billion wagered on
really?
Super Bowl. And that's, I think, you know, the legal plus the illegal. I think they said only about 20% of the money was actually wagered legally, but that's kind of, I guess, from insiders.
That's
$20
billion dollars then.
What's that? No. I think the 4 point was the total.
Oh, okay.
And then, yeah, so whatever, a billion of it.
Nothing.
Yeah, then. Only a billion probably
yeah, just
wagered
just a
legally.
Billion.
Yeah. So when I heard that, I was like, that is nuts. And then think about all the unhappy people that it would have come crashing down on. And the elated people as well who pulled it out when they thought all was lost. And they might not even have got their money. They might have been already jumping off of a bridge somewhere.
But quite possibly. I bet nothing. I bet nothing on it. And I didn't get a chance to watch it. It's really just one of those things. The World Series I can do here, time-wise, works out. Not so much the Super Bowl. So there you go.
Okay.
All right. I framed a bunch of photos this week. Yes, in fact, yesterday.
Okay.
Still fresh in my memory. I kind of hate it.
You hate the actual framing process, like putting it into a frame?
All of it. All the whole...
Starting from ordering the photos online?
Well, starting from, first of all, buying frames. I don't like buying frames. What do you get? Like, which frames do you get?
IKEA.
I'm not in love with them right now, the IKEA frames. I found another place here that has really great frames, but just, you know, what size do you want? Like, what, you know, and what orientation are you looking for? And aspect ratio, there's all these things to consider, what color. And I'm a big fan of black frames with a white mat.
Absolutely. That's the IKEA, man. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I still have some of those, but I found a place that for about the same price does a much nicer looking frame. Like, those ones are fine. These ones are just a little bit better, which isn't, you know, IKEA is great. They're still your basic black frames. Hard to beat the price. Can't do it. But do you want your whole house to look like you think you're an art gallery? Or do you want to have a little variety, you know?
And yeah,
if
I like
so,
variety.
How much variety?
A little bit.
A little bit, you know? So, you know, four different kinds of frames or three? Or, you know, like, this is what keeps me up at night. and then you get the frames, that's fine. And then now you want to fill those frames. Well, which pictures do you? And it's kind of weird because, you know, we're pretty good at taking pictures. Otherwise, they wouldn't have given us a podcast.
Right.
And we take a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's sort of a paralysis of choice. You know, like if you only have three good pictures to choose from, which at one point in my life I did, and that was easy. I'll frame these three.
Right.
But now I'm like, well, geez, well, I don't know what this one has. You know, how do you pick? So you have that issue. Then you get them, you know, you get them printed. That's fine. And they don't. The printing company, which did a great job, by the way, I got a whole bunch of large sized images. Like essentially, I had to go. They're big enough that I had to go under the poster section, like poster size.
Okay.
And like one of them was, I only know centimeters here because that's how I had to order. But one of them is 70 by 100 centimeters. So what is that in 40 inches? Does that sound right? 2.5, yes, roughly?
Yep. 40.
So whatever that works out to be, like, so 26 by 40 inches or something like that. And it looks fantastic. Like, I can't believe what a great job they did.
But then you put this in a frame?
And I put that in a frame.
That's a big picture.
It is. It's going in our hallway. So,
what's this a picture of?
It's a picture of you, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah. leaning on a lamppost or something.
Yeah, that's the one. No, this is one a Vancouver landscape. It's, remember, I talked to you last week about not having any vertical. This was a horizontal I needed, and you know, I wanted something that's Vancouver, but I want something colorful and cheerful, and which Vancouver is. And so, this is a picture I took. It might have been a challenge photo at one point. I'm not sure. I took it a couple of years ago. It's probably almost 3 years old now. It's one of the at Spanish Banks is like a lifeguard boat right on the edge of the water, and nobody in the photo, and a couple of tankers in the background, and then the North Shore Mountains in behind, and some sky. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll post the picture. I'll take a picture of the picture.
Great.
So the frame itself, this one doesn't have a mat. This one it's just a thick wood white. Wood frame, and it goes right. Picture goes right to the edge, which is rare for me. However, they don't. I mean, so the picture itself, the frame is 70 by 100, like the insert. But they don't. You can't get a 70 by 100 print. So you can either get like, you know, a 70 by 90, and then just add 10 centimeters on in crayon. Which would probably look stupid.
Yeah.
Or you get the 80 by 100, and then you got to cut some off.
Yeah, that's tough sledding, too.
And this one, with no, if you have a mat, you're okay. You can cut that with a steak knife. Nobody cares. You're never going to see it.
Yeah.
But this, you do have a little wiggle room, but you have maybe half a centimeter on either side that you can make a mistake. And worked out fine. It's in there. It's great. And then the other ones, I forget what the sizes were on those.
Big.
The other ones I got, the other landscape ones. One was a vertical one. One was ended up being horizontal as well. Those are smaller, and I forget the size. And I think they were, I'm going to say, 45 centimeters by 60 centimeters. Whatever that translates to.
Yeah.
60 centimeters, about 25 inches, something like that, or 24 inches. So that's the big side. Well,
sure.
They don't make those prints. And those ones had mats in them. And so you have a little bit of leeway. Well, you can't get, they don't make the prints that size. You get them close and then end up essentially cropping too much of your image in the mat, which you don't want to do. Like you want your image to look how it looks, right?
Right.
So essentially what I figured this out a while ago, is that what you can do, the good way to do this, is because you have the kind of metric sizes, I suppose, is the problem. And so what you can do is just put two pictures into one and get a 60 by 90 printed and then cut it in half.
Gotcha.
You follow? So now you have two 60 by 45s because it's a 42 by 60 is the hole in the mat. It's a 42 by 60.
Right.
So you can get a 40 by 60 and be left short, but then you can get something like a 45 by 70 or 80. It's a stupid size, and you lose all your picture.
Mm-hmm.
Just so by doing this, worked out perfectly, and then you just cut it in half. It's even cheaper, believe it or not, if you go ahead and do this. You end up saving like 25% because you're only getting one print instead of two.
Right.
So there cool. you go. So got all that done. The funny thing is, this wasn't on purpose, but the three of the images, this is all for my hall, for the stairwell. I wanted to have, we have a big open stairwell. I kind of wanted to finally fill it. It's just been bare for 2 years, 2.5 years. So the three pictures I chose were all taken with my 40D.
Wow.
In fact, two of them, and these look like they did, what a great job. This, I think it's pronounced Cewe, C-E-W-E, is like the biggest printer in Germany, I think. And they handle it on the internet, ship it to your house, no problem. Very, 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 very reasonably priced. Did an amazing job, and the two pictures that I had in the mat frames were not only were they taken with the 40D, both taken with the kit 17-85 lens.
Nice.
And yet, you wouldn't know it. So there you go. Bunch of framing yeah. this week. That's why I hate it though.
Yeah, I know it's a hassle. That's why I haven't done it for a while, and I rarely replace the photos in my house because I'm just, you know, because the kids get a little older, and they think, okay, I should sort of have some from, you know, when they're little, and then have some mm-hmm. from when they're a little older, and sort of, you know, having them grow up. You don't want to just have a gap of 4 years where, you know, there's no photos that are a little bit more current.
Right.
But the task is pretty onerous.
It is. I mean, at least at that point, like once you get to the point where you filled your walls, you can essentially just replace prints. That's one thing.
Yeah.
But when you're hanging new ones, and I'm hanging large pictures, and the added challenge here is that we don't have wood, like we don't have a wood house. These are just like stone houses.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to get the big the impact drill or whatever we call it in English, and just hammer these giant holes in the stone and then sink the anchors and then put these matte big screws in. And even though I drill small pilot holes, the drill, the nature of it, the wall, it just wanders.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though I do all the math, I do some serious calculus on the, geometry, really, for being honest. But I math it all out. That's what I'm saying. Mark it on the wall exactly where to hang them, and I can never get them 100% straight. So I end up having to kind of, you know, bend the screw a little bit or add a little something just to get them to hang perfectly at a 90.
Right.
Life's terrible. Forget it. Don't even take pictures. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Throw your camera in the garbage.
Yeah, I just post them on Instagram.
Speaking of Instagram, we've been doing the Instagram. This week I've been doing is I kind of wanted to flesh out our catalog because people come and check us out. We have 8 photos on there. That doesn't look good, right? So I decided to kind of go back, and I went through and out of all the hundreds of challenge photos we've taken over the years and not posted to Instagram, I just selected, you know, like roughly 25% of them of just ones I thought looked decent.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been kind of gang posting them, so I do 8 a day for the last few days, and just putting them up there.
Cool. I've been checking them out, and it makes me happy to see some of those photos again.
Yeah, I haven't seen them in a while myself.
And none of those photos, like, have I ever printed? And I don't know if you have either.
Mm.
And it's like, again, you have a nice photo, you look at it once, and then you talk about it for a minute, and then it just kind of disappears into this catalog of umpteen million other photos.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, it is nice to go back. And I actually, today, I have that on my list of to-do. I'm going to get a few photos printed, just like you're talking about. And I was, you know, set aside a little bit of time to go back through the last year and just kind of, you know, look through the photos and pick out a few that really I should have gotten printed, but just never got around to. But now, you know, like you say, it gets now, how far back do you go and look through? Yeah.
That's so exactly right.
It's nice to see that stuff getting use is all
yes.
I'm saying.
Yes. You know, and some of your pictures, do you want to be your kids? Because you know that you're going to replace them in a couple of years. Maybe you just want a landscape.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's yeah. Like I said, throw your camera in the garbage, man.
Okay.
Speaking of Instagram, if you're going to buy a new Instagram, buy it on Amazon.
Yeah, why not?
That's where I got. That's where we bought our Instagram and got 10% off. No, but if you do purchase things on Amazon, as I do, just did yesterday, bought some coconut oil.
Beautiful.
Yeah, nothing to do with photography. No uses there.
Okay.
Just happen to like it. And if you do, click through our site. Click on our link on our site. It helps us out. And we appreciate the support.
Okay.
Does that really... Yeah, that's about all that's what's new. I haven't even got into the photos yet. Oh, I got new curtains in my office.
Don't care.
No, you do, because I think I'm gonna sound far more mellifluous than I have.
Oh, well, can't wait for that.
Don't you notice already?
No.
Yeah, I blame Skype. I say new curtains. I've never had curtains. That's so I have curtains now.
Sweet.
So hopefully that'll make the acoustics be much more rad.
I heard if you put paper cups and you staple them to the ceiling, I've heard that helps.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
Okay. But styrofoam then. Styrofoam.
I saw La Bamba. I know how it goes. Yeah. So there's that. Okay, did you shoot anything interesting?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Let's just talk about the photo challenges.
I just want to put out there, the only thing I shot that is somewhat interesting, I did another short video for baseball.
Oh, I watched it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did.
All right. All 53 it. Seconds?
Yep. I got through the whole. I might have only done 48, and then I turned it off. No, I watched a whole video. So
wait, did you watch it on the Facebook or on Instagram?
Facebook.
Okay, then that one is 53 seconds.
Okay,
but then I also cut, I cut a 30-second version for Instagram. I think 60 seconds is the cutoff. For Instagram, but I wanted to make something nice and short, 30 seconds, like a 30-second version, just to hammer out there.
Now, I have a question about the video, not the technical aspects of it, but just mm-hmm. about, it was, you know, about speed testing for your baseball team, right?
That was the first, there's been two videos we've done this year. One was about, yeah, the radar gun, and one was about training with weighted balls.
Okay, so... This was the balls, but I was watching it without audio, so because I thought it was in German. I don't know. Was it in German?
No, we did this one in English.
Okay, well, I watched the video, but I watched with no audio, so there okay. You go. But so they had the weighted balls were, you know, definitely front and center, but they're throwing it, and they had the little radar thing, the guy standing behind the net, and keeps showing the numbers and whatnot. But they're throwing it in a way that's more cricket-like than baseball-like. And so then when you see a 97 pop up and the guy's taken 400 steps and then just, you know, rifled it from 3 feet away,
yes.
Thinking like, what are we measuring here? Like, what's the application? Like, usually you think of radar gun and you think of a pitcher.
Yes.
Right? And so typically...
He is a pitcher.
Okay, but there's no pitching technique here.
No, this is strength building, and the technique is a separate thing, and we'll make videos on that too. But okay.
I just again without yes. audio, I was kind of thinking like what are we doing here?
Audio is kind of important. The audio doesn't. Yeah, the audio is kind of important. Also, okay. the music's cool, so you're gonna want that. Yeah,
is this how they do things? Is this how they do things?
This isn't a scouting. Like we're like Alex, the guy who's in the videos. Alex, he's our pitcher from Canada.
Okay.
This is what he does. He's putting together like a throwing program to build strength, build speed, and all that. And so in terms of getting an accurate reading, the radar gun is more to track progression of the guys. Not so much as a scouting tool to say, hey, coach, I throw 97.
Yeah, no, but what I'm thinking about is,
yeah.
is as a training tool, like, again, I'm coming at it from a totally different angle because of the biomechanics and the physiology, and this seems like this is a really fast way to basically tear a labrum.
That's in the shoulder?
Yeah.
Okay. I think elbow is usually the concern.
Yeah. No, it's probably not. The elbow is more about off speed and curveballs. Yeah, this is about this
I don't
is
know,
about
because I actually want you to look at mine, as a matter of fact. Okay. Having some, yeah. Might need the TJ.
Yeah, that's definitely a torque injury. And again, you know, depending on your throwing angle and action, you know, it can be from throwing fastball, especially with the guys that are sort of the sidewinders. Mm-hmm. But throwing over the top like these guys are with that kind of velocity where you're running out and just throwing it as hard as you possibly can, yeah, that's a good way to throw at a shoulder.
I can tell you he has worked up to this. This isn't about just going out on day one and seeing how you can huck.
Right,
like you, he's very responsible that way.
But weren't there other guys doing it? Like, wasn't yes. it like, yeah? And they haven't worked up, have they?
The guys in the video have. Yes, okay. No one's doing those exercises without working up to it.
I should be your trainer.
There's a whole bunch of other
the tubing hawks virtual trainer. You set up a little video sort of. We'll do consults on Skype for your team. I'm worried about your team. I'm worried about all the shoulders.
Alex does know his stuff. Right. Now, in legit, like just to put a cap on this, through all the there's a wide range of different exercises that that he does. And this is just sort of, you know, one very small video, one very small part of it, just to kind of showcase, you know, what it is. And we're going to put together a whole bunch more about his process. So in reality, like the radar gun is such a crazy, silly little tool. Like it's important, but you know what kind of a radar gun? Is it a jugs gun? Is it a ray gun? Like, you know, like the two different makes and models measure the speed at different parts, like different locations.
Mm-hmm.
So like now you see on the major leagues, you watch and go, oh, he throws 107 or 105, I guess is what's his name, Chapman throws.
Mm-hmm.
But those guns are measuring the ball out of his hand. Whereas in the old days when Nolan Ryan was pitching, they had the jugs gun, would measure it at home plate.
Mm.
Well, over that 60 feet, the ball would slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not to say that Chapman cannot bring it. I do not want to face him. I wouldn't even see the ball. Like, he'd blow it right by me. He really is very fast. But to say he's 105 and Nolan Ryan was 100, and that's, you know, probably not accurate.
Gotcha.
So we don't – in reality, you don't live and die by what that radar gun says. It's just kind of a sort of one metric of how you can measure. Now, Alex is a very good pitcher, and everybody likes to talk about how fast guys throw. Oh, yeah, this guy, yeah, he throws 95, and they don't. Alex throws very, very hard. I think he probably throws 89 miles an hour, like from the mound, like when he actually pitches.
Right.
So that 97 is a bit of a misnomer, which you've kind of figured.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough baseball for today.
Okay.
Check out the video. So I'll post a link to the video. You can check it out.
White balance is terrible, by the way.
That's that is the best I could do. Why pink floor?
Again, why pink face?
I didn't bring a gray card.
I shouldn't have got you going. That was mean. I should.
No.
Because you harped about it last week, so I know it's already a sore spot. So that was
It's not a sore spot because I know it's not me. I know it's not something I've done. Like I have made the best of a bad situation. I didn't bring a gray card. I happened to be wearing gray shorts, so I just took a I really did. I took a white balance off my shorts. Sweet. And got it closed. But those weird sodium vapor flicker lights, but the pink floor, it is just, forget it.
You don't have to explain it to me.
Throw your camera away. Go back to that. I'm telling you. But check it out. Put the sound on. It's good with the sound on.
Okay.
So there's that. All right. Photo challenge this week was vertical landscape. Because that was the hole in my game,
right?
That and white balance. So,
before we talk about the actual challenge photo, I just wanted to say, sort of as a coincidence, I hadn't uploaded photos that I had taken when I was in Montreal the week prior.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were podcasting last time, we talked about how I never take a vertical landscape, and then when I uploaded the whatever, I only probably took about 30 photos when I was in Montreal. Boom, first one that popped up was a vertical landscape that I took outside of the world famous Schwartz's Deli, and I thought, hey, I do this. It's rare that I do this, but it was sort of that funny coincidence. So I thought, I post the photo. I really like the photo. You don't get to critique it because it's not the photo challenge. But
you got to frame this one, man.
That was one of the things that I'm putting in the box in the Costco drop box today to get a frame of black and white with Schwartz's Deli. I just thought it would hang nicely as a vertical landscape somewhere in my house. So.
Oh, for sure.
There you go.
Like get and again, heed my advice. Get this one bigger than you think.
Okay.
This is cool because I think this is a picture that it is a good photo. I think you're going to just like it more and more.
Oh, I agree. And I kind of, because, you know, I was with lots of family when I was away there. I sent this photo to everyone because I thought this is kind of, again, for anybody who shares in our last name, this is just one of those photos that I think anyone that shares the Schwartz name would like to put up in their house. And part of why I like it is that, you know, there's people in the photo, they're coming and going, but none of them are, you know, basically there's no real faces here. Mm-hmm. So there's action and there's movement, but the sort of the name and the location basically is the subject of the photo. But I think it's a much better photo for the fact that those people are in it versus if it was just a blank landscape.
Agreed.
Yeah, so one of those weird kind of just like, again, I took one of these. I wasn't thinking about any of this stuff. So again, a lot of it was just happy accident and really liked it a lot better. It was an overcast day, so very muted tone. So far better photo in black and white than anything I could make happen in color.
And aside from one or two cars in the background, it's a timeless shot.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple of those taillights and whatnot really reek of, okay, it's now. But
you're exactly right. The buildings and everything, this is old, kind of an old area of Montreal. So yeah, this photo minus those cars probably would have looked exactly the same 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Plus, they really know how to use an apostrophe.
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. I knew you would like that. Yeah.
Can't let it go.
No.
All right.
So there's that. So
I wish we'd have timed it better. This could have been your challenge, but
I thought about it, but then I knew that you'd know.
And, I actually would have forgot. Yeah. I would have forgotten that when that was because I saw this one come in first, and I thought, oh, maybe we did it. I don't know. Whatever.
I know. I was going to just leave it and just say that's the challenge. But again, I abide by the rules. And I will say, let me go first with the challenge photo. Okay. My other photo is better than my challenge photo, yeah, than my actual entry.
What do you mean? Like your challenge photo isn't as good?
Yeah, I like the Schwartz Deli photo much better than the challenge photo.
Well, the one you will post on your wall and one you won't.
Right, there's that too, yeah.
The one that your challenge photo, let's look at your challenge photo, it's the fisherman's needle.
Yeah.
Which we talked about off the air, and you said, no, I'm not going to shoot it. But then I guess the snow came, and you thought, how can I miss, right?
Yeah, that I thought for sure because of the snow. And then one morning, it was a beautiful sunshine day, and there had been a big dump of snow, and I thought, okay, now I have to go. Up until this point, I was going to just submit the other photo. And right. Then I thought, no, I'm gonna abide by the strict policy of taking it after. So then I went down to Gary Point and I snapped this. I took about, I don't know, 10 different photos, different compositions, all obviously vertical orientation. I would have liked to have been further away from the monument, but the water is right there. And so based on where the sun was, I really wanted the blue sky. And so I wanted sun at my back and I can't go back any further.
Which lens are you talking about here?
This is actually my point and shoot. So this is at the widest end of the angle. So it's pretty wide, but it's very close. Like you're very close to the rocks and what drops down to the water on the other side. So I mean, I could get more snow in the photo. Like I cropped this slightly to get rid of a little bit of the foreground because there were so many tracks of people walking. Mm-hmm. But as far as the look of the photo, it didn't really change it by adding more snow.
No.
So basically, this is, I mean, I thought if I got on completely on the other side of the little bay there, kind of went back 200 yards and around a corner, but then I'm shooting at a dramatically different angle. So
yeah, you want this. You want the ocean. That's where the river, for the people who are still Googling Highway 1, this is in Steveston. This is where the Fraser River meets the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, and I mean, it's shown up in a umpteen photo challenges for me in the past, but never with snow. Mm-hmm. And as far as I can remember, never as a vertical orientation. So a different twist on it. And the point and shoot camera again continues to amaze me. This is straight out of camera, minus I think I added a little bit of vibrancy and saturation, and that's it. Like this camera, I think it's at an f/5.6, and it's at the widest end of the spectrum as far as it'll shoot. Which again, I don't get the math, but it's some crop equivalent. So let's call it like 18 or 20 millimeters or something like that.
Okay. So what time in the morning was this?
This is about 9:30 in the morning.
Okay. So here's what I know. I thought, you know, it's actually just a great photo. I like it. It's a good photo.
Yeah, I'd say good. Not, I wouldn't call it great. Yeah.
No, but it's potential for great. I was it's a good photo. Could be great. The only thing you'd have to do, I mean, you'd have to get so lucky and have an overnight dump of snow where it's just coming down and no people. Like, no, yeah. No tracks. Because you have to lose the tracks on this.
I agree. 100%.
Okay? Now, it's fine here, but for the photo I have in my mind, the one that would be the big postcard that you would sell three a year down on Gary, what's it? Gary Land, what's it called? The Landing?
Yeah, something Landing. Steveston Landing.
Yeah, you sell it down at Gary Point there. You have to get there at this time of year. You'd have to get there at 5 a.m. Set up right where you are, because it's important where you are to have that nice deep blue sky in the background. And so it would have to have snowed overnight. Nobody walked there. And clear skies, which that almost never happens. Sun yeah. coming up, that early morning sun, which is going to make that needle just be completely golden, just amazing yeah. light with that deep dark blue, and you would have an award winning image.
There you go.
That sounds hard to do.
Yeah. Well, the weather is going to be the challenge here because we don't get snow like this very often.
No,
except this year. But and we haven't had blue skies. Like, this was the one day that I can remember ever since it snowed where it's actually been a blue sky. It's been a lot of overcast. So
right.
that was what sort of, you know, prompted me to go take the photo was, it's a blue sky. I got to do it. The blue with the white. There's actually people cross-country skiing this day at Gary
really?
Point. Yeah, never seen that before. So that was new. So cross-country skiers right at Gary Point. But anyways, it's good enough. I'm not framing this one, that's for sure.
No. I also, yeah. I'm a little worried to hear that it's your point and shoot now.
Why?
If you look to the left, top left side of the image.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
What
yeah.
is that?
I don't know. Probably a smudge on the lens, to be honest.
Okay, it's on the lens and you're okay.
Yeah, I think it is. And if not, I haven't seen it on any other photos, but on all these dark blue ones, I did notice it. But I only took 10. But I noticed it too. And I thought, oh, I better check the lens. I think it's on the lens, but maybe not. Maybe it's sensor. I don't know.
Because that's hard to get at.
Yeah. I'm gonna assume, because I've cleaned that lens several times, that it's probably on the lens. But I'll keep you updated.
Well, at this aperture, it's like either way at this aperture. You won't notice it, you know, wide open, but...
Yeah,
it's likely what it is. All right, let's have a look at mine. Mine is the overcast weather. We've had terrible kind of blech weather.
Yeah,
but I found myself in Stuttgart yesterday. I don't go to Stuttgart very often. No real reason. But just actually going into Stuttgart doesn't occur. I probably haven't been in 5 years, but don't live that far away. Not counting driving through it to go play baseball in Stuttgart, but to go right downtown. So I was down there, and I brought my camera specifically for this, brought, again, 40D and the 30mm. It's my traveling camera. And this is what I came up with.
I like it.
It's fine. It's
it's very symmetrical, and I know you probably painstakingly cropped this to be perfectly symmetrical.
Well, I did frame it best I could. Like, I was really careful about where I stood. Now, there's a few things I just don't like about it that I can't change. Like, in that walkway right in front of me, there's that little drain or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But what can I do?
What are you going to do, yeah?
Get home, look at the picture, and think, wow, I could have moved that beer bottle.
Oh, I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, me neither until I got home.
Yeah.
But as
it almost melted right into the gate.
Yeah, well,
it's like a Where's Waldo of finding things. Find the beer bottle.
Yeah. I could have moved it or added one to the left side. I don't care.
Yeah, you should have done that.
That would be fine. Yeah, but so wherever the monument or the what do you call it, the column is called here, I don't even know. But this is the Schlossplatz. This is like the castle area, right in the downtown shopping district. Again, this is like a geography show.
Mm-hmm.
We got Highway 1, Gary Point, Königstrasse. That's all you have to know.
Right.
So I took a shot of this and then I thought, oh, you know what? That's fine. But what if I back up and shoot from in this little pavilion thing, whatever you call it, I don't know what you call it.
I think it's the drinking place.
Yeah, I guess they'd probably have a beer garden in the summer. But it's one of those little things you have in the yard. What's the word for it? I don't even
gazebo.
Know what it is. It's a gazebo. Thank you. I knew that.
Sure.
Yeah, obviously. So a little gazebo there. And so I just kind of backed up and decided, well, I'm going to shoot through and just kind of frame it just to add a little level of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't doing it. I just thought, it's fine. So I shot that and thought, oh, you know, I could get away with that. And then I figured, well, what if I shoot landscape or orientation and do a little mini Brennizer method on this one to make it a vertical image.
Okay.
So this is three images stitched together, three landscape horizontal images shot stitched together to make a vertical landscape image.
Because on the 17-40 or whatever, you couldn't get this?
This is my 30 mil.
Oh, okay. That's why, yeah.
Yeah. And even
I assumed that you did this with the full frame in a 17-40 that I could imagine that this is doable.
There you go. It probably could be. And you'd probably get a little bit of, you know,
a little warping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with this method, this is like something I hadn't, you know, would never have really thought to use for something like this. Worked out great.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's something to consider. I have used it for something like this before, but not quite. I usually go overboard. And so for only three images, it actually doesn't look, you know, too far off. Whereas if you use like 50 images and go super, you know, huge panorama, it looks goofy.
Right.
Whereas this kind of can fool the eye. So there you go. That's the photo challenge. I think I came in third. So what are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do? Yeah, I like it actually. So there you go.
I like
yours more than my fishing needle. So
I can go either way. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. We have a topic this week. After all this chatter, we have a topic.
Hooray!
Yeah, and it is, how fast is the fastball? No.
98 miles an hour out of your hand.
Well, that's what we talk about. That's what we talk about is everybody adds 5 mph.
Okay.
So when a guy strikes you out, it's like, oh yeah, man, he's throwing 93, hitting spots. He's 88. I know what 93 is. I know what that feels like. He's throwing 87.
Okay.
He blew it by an 87 guy. So calm it down. All right. No, this week's topic is fog machine. We both bought a fog machine like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Haven't even talked about it yet.
I've used mine. I got it, and then I set off my fire alarm, and then I haven't used it since.
That's the number one note I put right at the beginning of how do we use it. It's watch the smoke detector.
Actually, I used it twice. I set off my fire alarm, and then I thought, smoke detector.
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, I'm going to do it outside, and then I did it one more time at night. I used it outside, and then it's been packed away.
Yeah.
I've thought about using it.
Yes. Do you like it?
I love it.
Yes, that's the thing. And, well, see, that's what I put. So I bought a fog machine. You bought a – you've used a fog machine before. So it wasn't like, oh, Al bought a fog machine. I better get one. Keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
You know they're awesome.
They are awesome. I was always, again, looking for one at – a discounted post-Halloween price, and it's one of those things that they're wildly overpriced because they only show up at, you know, places right before Halloween, the specialty stores or Canadian Tire gets in a bunch, but just for Halloween, and so they're crazy expensive for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, oh, I should always go in after Halloween and grab one. And then I always forget they're gone. They're only there for about a week after Halloween. They crazy discount them and they just clear them out.
Right.
This year, I was on the ball because we had discussed it. And yeah. I went in and checked the Canadian Tire, whatever, 2 or 3 days after Halloween. And like predicted, they were on the clearance shelf at less than half the price. I think they were just under, I think they were 60% off. So I picked one up for, I don't know, something silly like $20.
That's crazy. How do you, should have bought two?
I actually thought about buying two, and then I thought my wife will not be happy with me if I come home with two. So I did the kind of like wife pleasing math and thought, well, I'll get one and I'll get a bunch of fog juice.
There you go. That's a hot move. And then you find out you don't go through it that fast.
No, I've got a lot of fog juice.
As do I. So what was it that made you want, like what does a fog machine bring to the table in terms of photography?
A cool, foggy, I don't know, kind of...
Okay, never mind. I wrote some notes.
Okay, you tell me. A cool foggy look to your photos?
It's a CFL. It's a cool foggy look. It adds drama.
Sure. I'm going to say drama. Drama doesn't sound right.
Go with drama. It adds drama. It adds mystery. It adds, like, it can add texture to your images. It just looks cool. It looks cool. Cool, yeah. Foggy, light.
Look.
Right, that's the CFL, yeah. Cool, foggy look. But here's the other thing, too, is it transforms your studio. So whatever you have going on, like if you know, like for me, I shoot down in the basement. We have my photo studio.
Right.
I can make it look like it's outside. I can make everything look like it's the end of Casablanca.
Sure.
Which they probably shot on a soundstage as well. It adds, and here's the big thing, it adds a ton of production value to your images.
Yes, I agree.
That's something that's a phrase you sort of talk about, especially in making movies, you know, like how can you, especially independent movies that you make for no money, how can you bring a ton of production value for little money? This is one of those things that you can do. And it's funny because like you said, like I use mine very rarely because you got to get it out and you need the whole deal and fill the room and then air the room out after. And it's not just a 5-minute process.
No. It's patience required for sure.
Totally, totally worth it. Even if you only use it sparingly, still a great investment.
Agreed.
So thrilled I have mine. We'll use it more. So how do you use it? Inside, outside, what do you do?
My experiment, outside.
Okay. I went the other way. I found using it outside, even if there's a light breeze, you're in a tough spot.
Oh, it is. You kind of need a sheltered spot to use it. So where I found success was right out, like just outside in my backyard, where I've got fencing and then the house on one side. So I'm blocked by when I got a tree in behind. So I'm pretty nicely sheltered and it's dark back there. There's no real lights other than the ones that I can control. So for the dramatic effect of darkness and then adding the fog, which you can light it in different ways, really is kind of similar to using a gray or a black background and then doing this inside. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the look. Like I've tried it on a white background and to me it was like, no, unless you're going to light the smoke somehow, like with gels and whatnot, it didn't work with a light background. So you want the dark background to really make the smoke pop.
I've never even considered shooting it against a white background.
I tried and I can prove that it's terrible.
I'll just take your word for it.
Yeah, and I did gel. I did all kinds of blue gels, and I thought this is going to look cool, and it didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can see that not being a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't bother people at home trying to shoot white background with
fog. Background in the garbage.
Yeah, save it for your projection TV.
Yes. So I found because of the wind and the rest of the elements, I have shot outside before, but even then I had to have my wife go stand like a quarter kilometer upwind and, you know, have the wind blow it into the scene. Right. That's a real pain. And that was a mild breeze, like not even a wind. So I generally shoot inside, but like you said, after that first time, I remember to pull the smoke detector off the ceiling and take it out.
Yeah, that's what I should have done, yeah.
Yeah, so next time just do that. Or I'm assuming if the battery's probably dead anyway, so
probably.
Just go ahead and go nuts. Okay. So yeah, indoors, you kind of want to have the ability to ventilate, because the fog, generally, unless you have severe asthma, I've been told, but I don't, so not really on my radar. It's generally harmless.
Yeah, I think most people it's harmless too.
Yeah, so it's not even, it's like a water vapor kind of thing.
Except remember we were on a photo shoot and a girl had a big reaction.
That sounded suspect to me.
Okay, well, that's the only thing that I recalled about the fog machine since one person reacted. But yeah, I so far so good. My kids are still fine. So
yeah, I wasn't sure if it was she had the reaction from the fog machine or the 2 6 of vodka she'd pounded during the day. I could have been either one. No, yeah. That's a complete joke. I there was none of that. She did say it was to do with the fog, because I think you and I kind of went nuts with the fog. I was like, hey, this is awesome. Like, let's more fog. Some is good. More is better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but no, generally, especially inside, the fog can hang around quite a lot. So
yeah, it is. It is tough to get rid of it.
It's nice to be able to ventilate. So downstairs we have like three windows in the basement, so we can kind of blow it out relatively quickly. Maybe get a fan down there and just kind of hammer it out if you need to blow it out, you know. Or maybe wait till you're done, or you know.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I use the fog machine, there's a perfect sort of timing to it as the top of the frame is kind of clear and as the fog is just coming up, right? Mm-hmm. And once it gets up and sort of fills the room, then it's kind of blah. It's not good lighting and you can't even see your subject. I don't like it when the fog is completely uniform. I like the contrast of the fog. So for me, when I was doing this, I basically had to, you know, you have whatever 10 seconds to kind of get your shot as the fog gets where you want it to be. Mm-hmm. And then you basically have to, you know, get rid of the fog and start all over again.
That's true. However, there's a big however in there. Because and you know what? We're going to get to that. The different techniques, a couple different techniques that you can employ when using the fog machine.
But but just to interject one more thing, that was the difference between indoors and outdoors for me, right? Too, is outdoors, obviously, it takes 3 seconds to get rid of the fog versus mm-hmm. indoors, it takes 5 minutes to get right. rid of it. Literally 5 minutes probably for me.
Oh, at least for us. Again, it's a basement room, so it's takes a lot longer to get out. I mean, we don't have the sliding glass door. Like that'd be great. But
yeah.
But let's talk about how to light fog, because you brought it up with the white background. Obviously, if you want to see the fog, you're adding it.
Yeah,
that's the point. How do you light this? Make sure you can see it.
I did a combination of sort of lighting the subject with a key light in the front, and then I can't remember because now it's been a while, but I had at least one backlight.
Always backlight is the key. And side lighting, like if you want to light that fog. You put your pants on one leg at a time, right?
And then I make gold records.
Nice pull. Yeah. When you put your lights up, one at a time.
Right.
So what I'm telling you is the very first light you should hang when you're shooting with a fog machine is your backlight. That is... It's not your traditional key light, but in this situation, instance is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
In this situation, that is your key. Like that's what you're thinking about is how am I going to backlight the fog? And then you deal with the rest of the lighting after that. So definitely backlighting is going to really make that fog pop. You can get away from the side as well, back on the side. I generally do kind of like on a 45, and often include the light in the shot because if there's enough fog, it no longer looks like a flash. It looks like just a cool light source
right.
in the shot. So in terms of that, and then bringing in like your soft light to light your subject, whatever, then you can go nuts. Like that's the beauty of it, is once you light that fog, it becomes, it obscures your background. So if you're shooting in your basement, you know, as long as you're not lighting it up, like using the light on your subject is controlled, you're going to probably have it, the background fall off to black, and the smoke will light up, the fog will light up and obscure anything that you would have seen anyways. It becomes such a huge part of your background.
Right.
So backlight. That's really where you want to focus. And generally what I do with that is bare flash.
Mm-hmm.
And just fire it in, and it really, really makes it stand out. How much fog? Now this is the big question. How much fog do you need?
Season to taste.
Well, because you day one though, you're going.
Oh, you're going wild. Maximum fog.
Yeah, I'm the fog hammer. That's what I'm doing, and it is like we're gonna blow through all this fog juice today. And then you dial it back. You think, well, okay, this is actually a bit much. This is a bit much. Nothing. Yeah, that's not true. Nothing wrong with that, really. It's fun.
Oh, and a heads up, if you're trying to convince your kids to participate in the fog photo,
Yeah. Introduce
a fog dance party, which is awesome. And then snap photos. Yeah.
True. That's a valid point.
Participation guaranteed.
Plus, it smells like Stardust Roller Rink.
So, yeah, it does. It's kind of got a sort of a nice sweet smell.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Yeah. So, yeah, every day at 4:20, I get my smoke machine out.
Fog sniffing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Inappropriate. Okay.
Yeah,
so
sorry.
Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with a lot of fog. Go nuts. Like, but you'll find, as with anything else, as with, you know, when you get your first prime lens, it opens wide open. After a while, you stop shooting at 1.4 and, you know, you start to be an adult and shoot at 2.8. Right. Same with the fog machine. You sort of dial it back a little bit and season to taste, like you said. I tend to use it sort of in behind my subject, but I will also waft a little bit. Waft?
Waft.
I'm bad at this. I'll drama some right in front. So, no, I'll try to bring it a little bit in front of the subject, too, just to kind of envelop them so it kind of adds a nice little depth. It's like you're placing your subject in the fog as opposed to just photoshopping a fog background in behind them.
Agreed. In a perfect world, I want that fog to exactly kind of wrap all the way around them.
Yes. And so that's the plan. So we got dark background. Backlight it, bam, your fog is great. Color looks nice. Black and white looks amazing. You're off the races. Now, that's the simple way. That's your basic way. And in fact, the good part about this is if you just take what we just said and run with it, you'll discover a whole lot of how to do this on your own.
Now, when do you do this? Like, so what's the photo, like, for those at home? You know, where would you suggest that they do this kind of fog photo? Like grandma, you know, playing cards, you're probably not introducing the fog machine.
Probably not. No, we did an episode a while back. I don't even remember about forced style.
Yeah.
And how, you know, you know your situation. You know, don't do high contrast images of your kid playing soccer or whatever it was, whatever we ended up doing. And this, again, you kind of want to have that mystery, that drama. It's not usually not a lighthearted thing unless you're doing like a Heaven Can Wait remake or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
your go-to? Because I can speak to my own experience. Like,
well, there's a reason they sell them at Halloween.
Yes. I mean, there's Halloween, but I'm thinking, okay, it's not Halloween right now, not for a while. Where would somebody use this? And my suggestion would be, any kind of sport photo. It looks awesome.
I'm about to shoot a whole bunch of baseball portraits using the smoke machine.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter what sport, you know, because to me, if you got the dark background, I mean, I think soccer would look great. Hockey, I've done. It looks fantastic. Baseball, again, I can't see any reason why any sport wouldn't look good. And I did Sarah and some dance photos, and they look awesome, too. So, basically anything with kind of, I don't know, sort of a sporty, athletic kind of movement, you can make that dramatic version of it.
So you're talking about now, I'm picturing what you're talking about, a nice kind of, maybe a full-length portrait or even a, you know, maybe waist up, something like that. That low-lying fog with the backlight coming from the floor, kind of up,
sure.
Uplighting it.
Yeah, sure.
That's going to look fantastic.
Yeah, and like you say, you can pretty much run with that with any kind of sport-type shot. Mm-hmm.
There's a whole series of photos of posters in the 80s, sports posters that I looked up recently because I just love them. And they're kind of the goofy, like the one with the Bash Brothers with Mark McGuire, Jose Canseco, yeah. And they had fun with it. And there was a bunch that used the smoke machine, the fog machine. I keep calling it smoke machine. It's a fog machine.
Yeah.
If it's a smoke machine, you're doing it wrong. Get out of there. So that's one way. Now that's a great use for it. Now here's but what you described earlier about having that sort of the fog just. What do you uniform? Because you said uniform.
Yeah.
That's an underrated use of the fog machine. I recommend doing it. Now, okay. You're not going to see it. It's not going to give you that foggy Halloween look, but it is a really, really subtle diffusion to your light and to your image itself.
Right.
Without making it look foggy. So what you want to do is fire off a very little bit of fog and then kind of mix it around, like swing a towel around or something like that, so it dissipates and kind of evenly and just kind of hangs in the air.
It sort of brings down the contrast of the
image. Brings down the contrast. It's like using a ProMist filter, but way, way better.
Right.
Because it's going to now the lights that you're using are going to shoot through the little droplets and scatter everywhere. Now, you're not going to see it. You're not going to see the light scatter. It's just going to be a really nice kind of soft light. The image of your subject's going to look great. I remember the first time I saw this. Like, I saw it on a movie I worked on, and they were shooting a nightclub scene, and they kept with the smoke machine, but they kept kind of waving it out so it would spread out like this. And so I'm shooting with, at the time, was my Canon XL1. It was quite a long time ago. And I'm just shooting, not knowing. And when I got home and saw the footage I shot that day, I was just blown away about how good this crappy little... At the time, it wasn't crappy, but if you look at it now, it's a little 640 by 480 digital camera. And, you know, kind of a harsh image. Well, all the stuff I shot with the smoke machine going was just fantastic looking. Like, just, I was like, wow, just carry this around every day.
Right.
You know? So that, and it didn't look like smoke. It was just nice and diffused, all of it. So that's a great way to achieve that effect with the fog machine. Another little move that you can do with this, if you kind of let it kind of go in the background of your image, you can then have, you know, basically hard light beams coming in. If you can, you know, put a snood on your flash or whatever, and you'll actually see that shaft of light in the background. Follow me?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And that's a cool technique.
So it sort of just blows through the smoke in one area.
Yeah. So like you've seen that like the picture of like maybe in an old barn or something like that where they have dust particles in the air, but you'll see the shaft of light coming in from a window and it just looks amazing.
Yeah.
That's a great way to achieve that effect. So it lets you get those shafts of light that you can use, which I kind of love.
Yeah.
And lastly, as you touched on it, money. How much do you need to spend? You don't need to spend a lot.
No. Not if you get it discounted after Halloween.
Well, no Halloween here in Germany. So I pay a little bit more than you. That's how it goes with some items over here in Europe. But again, I think the list price was lower than the list price in Canada, but your sale price was far, far below ours. So,
and I think they have the one that I got on Amazon, and it was expensive in Canada, but I think it was much more reasonable in the US. So I think it was I think it's just called the fog machine. That was the one I have. It's like it's a gray one and whatever, 400, I don't know, they're measured in watts or whatever it is. I can't remember right. the units, but there's giant ones, and then there's kind of like the smaller kind of home use ones. And I have the one branded the fog machine, and I can speak to all of the two uses I've had of it. Very simple to use and yeah, no issues with it whatsoever. And then I just bought the fog juice that was the same company, only because that's what was available on clearance at Canadian mm-hmm. Tire.
And mine is called Das Fog Machine.
Das Fog Machine?
Das Fog Machine.
With a question mark.
Yeah. Actually, I don't remember what mine's called. I did buy mine on Amazon.de, though. And, okay. And so, but whatever one, I could dig it out. And if you're in Europe trying to buy one, and I like mine just fine. You can't miss. I don't think you can miss on this. So I guess, you know, wait then 8 months until Halloween and get one then. Or if you want one, you can find one at a reasonable price. If you've even been considering thinking, oh, hey, it might be nice to have one, get one. Do it. Because even if you use it twice a year or twice in 4 months like Adam and I have, totally worth it. Like, I'm going to get mine out again and shoot a whole bunch of stuff with it. Really worth having, even if you use it once in a while. It's going to set you, your pictures are going to stand out, like, right automatically. Your portraits, whatever you take, are going to stand out from everybody else's, unless everyone else buys one. And then, what are we going to do?
They'll all be the same.
But no, you like I said, that production value comes in. It is a wow factor that you can't achieve without one. Get one.
Agreed. Get one now.
All right. Photo challenge for next week. Crystal clear photos.
Yes.
Ironically, that's what we're doing. Just clear. Wide open.
High contrast, non-foggy.
No, it's got to be fog machine. Get that fog machine back out. We're doing it.
Okay. All right. So this, we're going to just exclude all of our listeners that, you know, 99.8% of them don't have a fog machine. So
yeah,
the
participation in the weekly challenge has been huge. Yeah, I think
the listeners, boom.
they've been excluding themselves.
Okay, all right. So they can worry about the monthly challenge, which was
Magic Hour,
right? And we'll worry about this fog machine because we both have one.
No, how about this? You look at what we do with our fog machine, and I'm going to shoot mine 99% sure I'm shooting it in the basement just because it's easier than driving somewhere with my fog machine, even though it's very small.
Yeah, but you need a plug too, right? Like you need an outlet. Yeah,
They make battery powered ones.
Yeah, I know. I did not go that route.
Neither did I. I couldn't see it coming up. Although it would be fun to have that in your car, just kind of spewing out the back on the road. That'd be kind of fun to do. But no, mine's a plug in. But no, people will look at what we do with ours in a very simple setting, and they'll say, "Wow, I need one of those." And so, in 5-6 months, we'll revisit this and do the fog machine challenge again because everyone will have one.
Okay.
Unrelated. I just bought stock in a fog machine company.
Okay.
Just get that out front.
The fog machine.
I bought it in Das Fog Machine. So,
oh, you're totally screwed because the fog machine is just going to completely take over.
Yeah, money well spent. So, as Adam said, monthly challenge on Instagram is Magic Hour. Other than that, websites. Adam, where can people go to find your photos?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
And the Instagram.
Yours? Yeah, sure. And the Instagram comments. You can see my comments on Instagram.
You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links, the photos, the Instagram stuff, Amazon, everything we talked about. You can find out how fast I throw a fastball on there.
Right.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, 98. One better than Alex.
Wow.
Yeah. That's in kilometers, though. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.